is Stephen Clark's Curtain Call on Y01 Radio.
Hello and welcome to Curtain Call, the podcast that talks all things theatre. Whether it's a musical, a play or a good old-fashioned pantomime, I will cover it at some stage or other. Plus, I'll be joined by people from the industry to talk all things backstage and behind the iron strong safety curtain. This journey of theatre will take us all together on a discovery of old and new, touching on classics, new and exciting work. And of course, it wouldn't be theatre if we didn't talk Andrew Lloyd Webber. No, seriously, somebody has to. So sit back and get comfortable in your overpriced, no legroom, bottom-numbing theatre seat as we raise the curtain on today's topic, movies to musicals. The silver screen has been home to many a great film, but it's also been home to many a great flop. Movies that producers were sure to be a hit at the box office have crashed and burned. But so too have musicals. Andrew Lloyd Webber is not shy of that factor. His latest production, Bad Cinderella, lasted merely 85 performances and 33 previews on Broadway, just proving no matter who you are, if you have a flop, you have a flop. But his great works, such as the life of aging silver screen star Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard, have given him a great back catalogue. And the new version of this show is due to open in London later in 2023, with Nicole Scherzinger taking on the title role of Norma Desmond. His main show to talk about in this episode, however, is Whistle Down the Wind, the musical he co-wrote with Jim Steinman, based on the 1961 film starring Hayley Mills. Now, the original 1958 novel was written by Mary Hayley Bell, and it tells the story of three Lancashire children who discover a bearded fugitive hiding in their barn. They mistake him for Jesus Christ and come to the conclusion that their Lord and Saviour has come back and they must protect him and hide him at all costs.
We've got to find
Lloyd Webber, who co-wrote the book for the musical with Patricia Knopp and Gail Edwards, took Hayley Bell's novel and transported it from Lancashire to Louisiana. Now, as everyone knows, setting a show in America sells tickets, as it makes the production a universal, marketable product. Plus, your Broadway investors are more likely to understand it. I mean, look at Boy George's Taboo, a fantastic look at London in the 1980s, but transferred to Broadway and they didn't get it. Despite Boy George's efforts at totally revamping the score and the book, it didn't work. But I digress. Whistle Down the Wind premiered in Washington, D.C. in December 1996, and it transferred to Broadway in the April of 97. Its heavy rock soundtrack really brought the heat of the Deep South to life, and the mixture of gospel brought home the story of finding Jesus in a barn. The late Harold Prince gave great direction to this mammoth show with its two-tier split staging designed by Andrew Jackness. The hydraulic lifting of a complete stage to unveil another stage was astounding, and the great train tunnel with the fast and furious locomotive hurtling towards the audience gave everyone gasps and goosebumps. It still, however, didn't quite hit the mark for its Broadway audience, even though they threw every marketing trick at it. So it was back to the drawing board, and a reworked production was put into place and opened in London in the July of 1998. It was a success for Lloyd Webber and his team, and they proved by running for just short of 3 years at the Aldwych Theatre. Now, it was a darker production than its concept, and co-writer Gail Edwards took on the role of director. It also gave Lloyd Webber a great number of hit songs that were to be recorded by Tina Arena, Boy George and Boyzone. It also gave us new talent such as Lottie Mayer as Swallow and Marcus Lovett as The Man. Another aimless day, another useless night. I want peroxide hair, I want some neon light. I've got a new life waiting, I can't wait to begin it. The thing that gets me down of being young in this town, there's no future in it. What happened to your face, Amos?
Nothing. I told my dad last night that I am working in that hellhole of a factory and ending up a downbeat nobody like him.
And he hit you?
Ain't the first time. This town's going crazy, and I'm going crazy with it, stir crazy.
I wanna find perfume,
I want a blue carpet.
If there's a slower death than living here and now,
they haven't found me yet.
I need a man to know,
got me baby,
what I really worth.
Well, I don't give a damn about a life after death, but I gotta get some proof that there's a life after birth.
I want some satin sheets.
Oh, give me some real rich food. I want some soft, and sweet.
I want you by my side, and you'll be all my own.
Well, I know I don't want to have a time, but I know that I don't want to spend another minute alone. Tired tracks and broken heart, that's all we're leaving behind. Small for us, baby. We gotta get out of here fast. I mean tomorrow.
I'll meet you as soon as it gets dark.
In the parking lot, 6:30.
You promise?
We'll be in New Orleans for Christmas morning.
This time it had better be for real.
6:30 tomorrow night. I promise.
Over the last decade, musical theatre seems to have taken a shine to conversions, from the silver screen to the Great White Way and London's West End. Tryouts of new productions based on films have seen the likes of An Officer and a Gentleman, Beetlejuice, The Addams Family, Mean Girls, SpongeBob SquarePants, and not forgetting big successes such as Shrek, Saturday Night Fever, and Hairspray.
Once I was a selfish fool who never understood, never looked inside myself, though on the outside I looked good. Then we met and you made me the man I am today. Tracy, I'm in love with you, no matter what you weigh. 'Cause without love, life is like the seasons with no summer. Without love, life is rock and roll without a drummer. Tracy, I'll be yours forever, 'cause I never wanna be without love. Tracy never set me free.
So black is everywhere you go. Who'd have thought I'd love a girl whose skin was white as winter snow?
In my ivory tower, life was just a hostess snack. But now I've tasted chocolate and I'm never going back. 'Cause without love,
life is like a beat that you can't follow.
Without love,
getting my big break.
There is, of course, the big-named films that have come out of being a musical, where the process has been reversed. Evita. Everybody's talking about Jamie, Mamma Mia, for example, and the anticipated Wicked. Oh, and of course, Cats. But let's not talk about that. It does seem that musical lovers are taking the movie musical genre to heart. London is bursting with them currently. I mean, Roald Dahl's Matilda is still wowing audiences of all ages at the Cambridge Theatre, again released as a movie just recently. Tim Minchin has taken the classic children's story and twisted it into great musical full of nightmares, bewilderment, loss, longing and love. At the heart of it though, Matilda Wormwood just wants to be loved, she wants to be understood, and for everybody to do the right thing, even when being a little bit naughty.
To love.
Musical movies that bring around the party atmosphere naturally go well with certain audiences. The hen parties, the girls' night out, the big birthday groups. They all flock to the theatre. They go to see shows such as Fame, Footloose, Flashdance, All the F's. And most recently, in all its repeat tours, Whitney Houston's The Bodyguard is still drawing in all the crowds. We all know that The famous song from that soundtrack was penned by country legend and goddess Dolly Parton. But Dolly is no stranger to the screen or stage. She appeared on film opposite Burt Reynolds in the musical film version of The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Dolly took hold of the score and reworked it, as she does, and added in her country magic, and that is where I Will Always Love You was born. Sadly, none of Dolly's songs feature in the musical score by Carol Hall. But Dolly's music did reappear on Broadway in 2009, when she worked alongside Patricia Resnick and opened 9 to 5 the musical. It received the most Drama Desk nominations, 15 nominations in a single year for a single production, and it also acclaimed 4 Tony Award nominations. So the critics seemed to like it. But the public didn't come forward. It lasted 5 months and closed in September 2009. So what next? Well, as any producer knows, if the Americans don't want it, the English will. And did we? Yes, we did. It opened in the UK in 2012 and finally got its West End premiere in 2019. It's been on a UK tour ever since and is now touring Europe and beyond. So finally, a successful show for Dolly and her team. Those acrylic nails really have brought her some hits. Who'd have thought? 9 to 5, eh? What a way to make a living. Thing that's noticeable about our beloved fellow theatre-goers is that as a collective, we are hardcore. We are supportive, we are defensive, and we will always be there at the stage door with pens and photographs, memorabilia and underwear for the actors to sign. Okay, the underwear may be a step too far, but I did once witness a leading man have to autograph a lady's bra. But is there a more cult following for musicals that seem to bring theatregoers together? I mean, the Rocky Horror Show, Grease, and Dirty Dancing, for example, encourage you to grab your best drag, get your leather jackets on, or carry a watermelon. And they come out in force to have a good night at the theatre. But it's thanks to their films that have given us the audiences to keep them alive today. Films have the power to take viewers on a journey that can be refined and pin-spotted by a camera. You can focus on a topic or a person and really display it under the microscope. But musical theatre needs to showcase on a larger scale. Yet some themes and topics have successfully transferred from stage to screen. I do believe that Ghost the Musical gave a true adaptation to the film. It was excellently created, it was crafted and brought to life by Bruce Joel Rubin, Dave Stewart, and Glenn Ballard's book and score. It had all the factors you wanted: love, romance, humour, and illusions. It was a theatrical roller coaster for the senses.
Step up and own it. Let it fall. Here, right. There's no confusion, everything is clear. And we'll have weeks and months and years, whatever. We were meant to be together. You were sent to me.
Sticking true to the film is quite hard in places when a musical may need to take a different direction. I've recently just watched the new musical of Mrs. Doubtfire, a tremendous feat for actor Gabriel Vick, who takes on the role made famous by the late Robin Williams. The story does follow the movie, but slight changes have been made for the musical theatre audience. I mean, the show is moved to present day. The references are tailored to its audience, such as nods to Boris Johnson, King Charles and Love Island. Miranda no longer runs an interior design company, but a clothing line. Help is no longer on the way, dear, in the restaurant, but instead Mrs. Doubtfire ends up in a fashion show for plus-size ladies. It is, though, naturally a vehicle for Gabriel Vick, and supporting roles do just that. They support the show throughout. It's a fun evening at the theatre, and for any fans of the 1993 film, it should definitely be on your hit list for a London theatre trip.
Can you help me out, Mrs. Doubtfire? I think of Miranda, well, constantly. I'm a man on a mission. I need a woman's intuition. Do you think that she feels the same about me?
No.
What?
No.
No.
That wouldn't work at all.
I thought I felt a connection.
No. You're too tall and too British. Too well chiseled. Too Brad Pittish. No.
Are you sure?
No, dear, you're not her type.
I sort of thought I was.
If she saw you on the Tinder, she'd do a left swipe.
I thought that I could be the sort of guy that she deserves. Give her everything she never got from that lame ex-husband of hers.
No. Huh. But you're way off base.
I thought I was reading the signs.
Well, you read them wrong. It's just not so. It's a big fat no. Miranda's still in recovery from her divorce, dear. Give it time. A decade, maybe.
But I just can't contain it. I simply adore her. I'd do anything for her. That's the honest truth. She is someone I think I could fit like a glove with. And I think I'm in love with her. And I think she is feeling it too.
Wrong.
Why?
Could be the way you walk. And not to mention how you sound when you talk. It's rather cloying. What's that word she used?
Sweet?
Annoying.
No.
Yes.
But she said my accent was hot.
Oh, she didn't. Well, that's the thing about Miranda. See, she lies a lot. Like she probably told you you look good in those tight pants. But you don't, dear. Two words. Moose knuckle.
Moose what?
It's too soon for you to swoon and croon. She's not ready, I can tell. And what I've done, and Miranda's flame is refined.
She told me there's no chance in hell.
Oh.
So that's not an option now.
Oh, really?
And if he thinks it is, I'll tell him it's not so. That's a big fat no.
Miranda really said Daniel has no chance?
She needs someone to go dancing through life with.
He's tied on his feet.
Someone who will listen when she needs an ear.
He's a very good listener.
Someone who pays attention.
Someone who's strong but sensitive and sincere. Women like sincerity.
But do you mind? I think I know what women like. We also like a man with a good sense of humor, which, sorry to say, you don't have. Nothing personal, dear. You're just really boring.
No.
Who are you?
He's an awesome bloke.
Aw, thanks, guys.
A fella you can chew the fat, crack a joke, or have a tea with. Guys wanna be and gals wanna be with.
So, you say I'm not that guy.
So,
guess you'd be telling me that I'm just a fool for going for it. Thanks for the advice,
but he'll ignore it.
I'm holding out a hope. Should I let that go?
I think maybe so.
That's a big fat no.
One of the biggest franchises around in the 1980s was Back to the Future, the film starring a very young Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd as Marty McFly and Doc Brown. Bob Gale, who was responsible for the film book, took charge of the book for the musical, as it was his baby. He wanted the control, so it's no wonder that this musical is a direct, true to the original adaptation. It's got a tremendous score by Alan Silverstein and Glenn Ballard, which is no surprise. Remember, Mr. Ballard wrote the music for Ghost. It has a phenomenal cast, and the amazing effects are a wonder to see. For all 80s fans, technological junkies, and lovers of a great musical theatre, Back to the Future is a must for you. It's about to go into its third cast change at the Adelphi Theatre in London and has just opened on Broadway. It really drives a punch, and it solidifies the fact that when done right, movies can transfer to the stage perfectly. It runs with a great pace too, so it never drags or bores. You just have to make sure you don't go past 88.
It's a small matter of power, Doc. We need 1.21 gigawatts.
1.21 gigawatts? 1.21 gigawatts? How are we going to generate that much juice? I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Stuck here? I cannot be stuck here. I got a life in 1985. I got a family. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Doc, she's everything to me. Please, 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 you are my only hope. You've never let me down in the past.
You mean in the future?
Hey, and you've always said, you can accomplish anything if you just put your mind to it.
Oh, I said that? That's good advice. But I just don't know how to generate that kind of power, future boy.
Future boy, I'm no future boy, 'cause I think I'm here to stay. What's the future for if I don't get more than today? I'm no future boy. I'll never find what I left behind. There's nothing for me here. There's only more of what came before. My future disappeared. Now everything's uncertain. Can't see behind the curtain. I can't go, and I don't know where this all will lead.
Marty, there is one energy source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity. It's a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
The bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower at exactly 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night!
The physics of this problem are perplexing. The muscles in my brain are busy flexing.
as a geometric form of a pending thunderstorm is hard to calculate. But now we have a date, and all my computations must conform.
If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor.
The way to get you back takes an equation and a meteorological occasion. And then a lightning crack becomes a power pack. That's what it's gonna take. No room for mistake. It's the only way to ever get you back. Back to the future, boy. You're the future, boy. And we know we found the way. You're the future, boy. And it's gonna be okay.
Ready to embark on a UK tour and heading to local theatres such as the Grand Opera House in York is the musical adaptation of Julia Roberts and Richard Gere's film Pretty Woman. This musical was a big, huge hit on Broadway with UK leading lady Samantha Barks as Vivian. It had, yet again, original screenplay writers Gary Marshall and J.F. Lawton take the helm. So as it's their baby, they want to ensure it's kept correct. There are certain moments fans expect, though. Big. Huge. You're sitting on my facts. Well, that's one I've not been on before. Work it, baby, work it. And she rescues him right back. Or a present in the musical. But due to certain rights and restrictions, fans don't get a brown and white spotted dress at the races. No, you get blue and white. And she no longer pees her pants at the opera. But everything else you love and want is there. It's got a great catchy soundtrack by Bryan Adams and Jim Vallance. Heartthrob and soap star Danny Mac took on the role made famous by Richard Gere, and he was joined by Amy Atkinson as Vivian in the London show. The UK tour will feature Amber Davis as Vivian, the dashing Oliver Seville as Edward, and Ori Aduba as Mr. Thompson. Because remember, everyone has a dream, right? Yeah. Welcome to Hollywood.
Vivian! Princess Vivian. Had to be the top floor, right?
It's the best!
So what happened after you climbed up the tower and rescued her?
She rescues him right back.
Ship at sea, no hope, no faith, no plan. You fill my cup and you lift me up so I can be a better man.
I was living life day by day, doing anything to survive. You give me strength and confidence, you make me feel alive.
About you, I knew right from the start.
Yeah, together.
thing. Everybody's got a dream. Some come true and some don't. But you'll be lost without one. Come on now, keep on dreaming.
Phase one, take a single seed. A little rain, a little sun, that's all you need. One small germ of an idea. Learn to hope before you learn to fear. Phase two, ground starts breaking. Doesn't care about the risk it's taken. So long, buried in the night. With just a memory of daylight. Like a sunflower following the sun. Won't give up until the day is done. Just one ray, it's all you're gonna need. Learn the lesson in the seed and turn like a sunflower. Fight to find the sunlight in the sky.
Don't stop to think you might not make it. If there's half a chance to take and take it. One eye following the line. Like a satellite. Won't give up until the day is done. Just the one ray, all you're gonna need. Learn the lesson in the seed and turn like a sunflower. Fight to find the sunlight in the sky. And let me rise. Mrs. Conventional, sorry, but sometimes a little attention is fun. Shelly, but I'm sure as hell still when they're playing. Sunflower of Yorkshire, a woman of Yorkshire. My God, she amazes me in all of her faces. Wherever there is sunlight in the sky, just watch her rise.
The final part of today's journey through movies to musicals is a British homegrown musical from the writers Tim Firth and Gary Barlow. Calendar Girls was originally a play written by Tim Firth, which tells the true story of a North Yorkshire town's WI group. Two friends within the group decide to go against tradition of calendars depicting graveyards and the bridges of Yorkshire in order to raise funds for their local general hospital relative's room. One of the ladies receives devastating news when her husband is diagnosed with a rare type of blood cancer. The sofa in the relative's room is uncomfortable, so they decide to raise enough funds to buy a new one. The calendar, which they want to produce, will be slightly off track, let's say, as the ladies will be nude. Now, the film version was adapted by Tim Firth for the screen and starred Helen Mirren and Julie Walters. It had a huge success globally, and it wasn't long before a musical was on its way. It premiered at Leeds Grand Theatre with Gary Barlow and Tim Firth writing the book and music. Now, it's a musical that has heart. It's got power and it's got drama. It's a story that resonates to this day with many people who encounter the horrible disease that is cancer. It's a great musical for female roles, and it's a show that portrays an institution, a community, friendship, family, love and loss. But above all, it's a musical about strength and hope. Maybe I'm biased, as this musical was created, set and premiered in Yorkshire, but it's a beautiful musical that recreates the movie and play, but yet still manages to take the story to a different level. I cannot wait for the revised version to hit the roads again in the UK at the end of this year and into 2024 with a brand new UK tour.
Monday, 10 past 8, the 7:30 bus to school is late again, stuck behind a tractor somewhere up the hill. Angry school kids texting don't appreciate the mist that's hovering on the river, but one day you hope they will. Dodge around the truck that drove 10 hours from Amsterdam to Yorkshire, full of flowers, where the guy buys the same bouquet a wife had on a wedding day. September and July, keep rolling Yorkshire, where all the fields are green, the days don't seem to change, the seasons come and go, and yet the days don't change. 10:30 Wednesday in the tea shop, the retired headmistress from the infant school tries to beat her husband to the crossword clues. Says hi to the sisters, buying flowers for the war memorial. Takes 3 hours to choose the ones they always choose. 7:45, St. Wilfrid's Choir. Try again to handle the Messiah. With the sisters who appear and sing too quietly to hear. Village green, the chip shop tea, the bowls, the bus, the kissing gate, and stepping stones that form the route into the Women's Institute. One year in England, Yorkshire just like Devon, just like March is just like Norfolk and July. North Yorkshire, Norfolk, Suffolk, Kent, West Yorkshire, Cornwall, Shropshire, Devon, Worcestershire, Northumberland. 8 September standing here, same place as we stood last year, and next year we'll be standing on this green and pleasant land to start yet one.
You've enjoyed my first crack at raising the curtain on a number of shows and bringing to the footlights the great movies that have crossed the boards and opened up at a theatre near you. No doubt more will creep into our theatres, more will succeed, and some will not. But you can guarantee that no matter what happens, we will flock to the theatre to see them. We will support them. Because remember, there is nothing better than live theatre, and we need to do our bit to protect it and keep it alive. So until next time, look after yourself, because this is Stephen Clark lowering the curtain on Curtain Call.
Stephen Clark's Curtain Call.
Cut! That's a wrap!
On Wire One Radio.